You're listening to a Cancer-Free Frontier podcast.
To create and provide better treatments today.
We can bring these discoveries and the science-based medicine to people in need around the state, the region, and the world.
I feel like the future is very bright, and I can't even imagine what cancer care is going to look like over the next 50 years.
To continue that journey to eradicate cancer from the face of the earth.
Welcome to Cancer-Free Frontier, where we ask the question, how can we deliver a cancer-free frontier? I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Simonson. Today, we're talking about some incredible programs at Huntsman Cancer Institute to train the next generation of scientists. Many of these brilliant, budding scientists come from socioeconomically disadvantaged backgrounds, and some come from countries dealing with political instability and violence. We are so fortunate today to have my friend, Dawn Ayer, PhD, Senior Director of Cancer Training and Career Enhancement at Huntsman Cancer Institute, and professor in the Department of Oncological Sciences at the University of Utah. Welcome.
Thank you, Heather, and very happy to be here.
Well, we're so glad that you're here. Dawn and I know each other. I interviewed Dawn when I was a health reporter at KSL-TV, and I learned a lot about these programs then and since I've been at Huntsman Cancer Institute, and I am a big fan. I just think that they are amazing. And I get the sense from working with you and others on your team that you just really love these students.
You know, that's absolutely true. And I will say that, you know, early in one's sort of academic career, I think one is very interested in, you know, what's the next accomplishment that I can achieve personally. But as one matures and it sort of goes along in their career path, it becomes much more about how can we help somebody else? How can we help somebody else achieve their dream, move up the ladder, really provide opportunities that, you know, they may not otherwise have. So, you know, that's the thing that, you know, at this stage of my career that really motivates me is really trying to open doors for others. And, you know, these students have such amazing stories. They're so full of curiosity. They're so interested. And it's just a real pleasure to work with them. And I think you use the word love. I don't think that's an understatement.
Well, I can tell, you know, I mean, you can tell that it's just such a passion and so important to you and your team, and frankly, to cancer research. I mean, when you think about these brilliant students, truly, who have some obstacles to face, to be able to, you know, really dive in and learn about science and learn if this is, you know, the path they want to go. I mean, who knows what kind of discoveries they'll make for cancer.
Sure, that's absolutely true. You know, you mentioned our goal of achieving a cancer-free frontier. And training the next generation of cancer researchers is the key to that. You know, people exit the sort of cancer research workforce all the time, so we need to keep a strong pipeline of investigators, of young scientists, young learners, filling that pipeline from the bottom. And, you know, I think the data shows that the more diverse workforce you have, the better it is for creativity, for innovation, for discovery. And I think the data also shows that patients from underrepresented groups actually receive much better clinical care if they're actually treated by a patient that's similar to them demographically, racially, and ethnically.
Yeah. So in other words, having people in these positions as, you know, clinicians, scientists, for the younger generation, like thinking forward, having somebody in those positions who looks like you is so important. Is that right?
Incredibly important. And, you know, I think somebody who understands, you know, what it's like to be in those very same shoes. And, you know, I think that is our ultimate goal is how can we deliver the best clinical care? And I think having a diverse population of clinicians is certainly one answer to that quandary.
For sure. And going to the doctor and seeing people from your community and people who look like you and who are like you, that creates better healthcare, as you said. And really, equity, diversity, and inclusion is good for all of us.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think there's just a level of comfort that a patient might have by having a physician that shares some of their story.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then again, like, who knows who might have a cure, you know?
Sure.
Because I have been so impressed by these students. They're so incredible. And let's talk about these programs. Let's break them down a little bit. First, Pathmaker. Tell us about Pathmaker.
Yeah, so Pathmaker is really probably calling it our flagship program is not an understatement. This program was started in 2016. It was started by a former vice president of health equity and inclusion at the University of Utah, a physician by the name of Ana Maria Lopez. And, you know, so she started this program with institutional funds, and that eventually transitioned to supplementary grants to our Cancer Center Support Grant. And in 2018, we were able to apply to the National Cancer Institute for something that's called an R25 Youth Enjoy Science Grant. And we were lucky enough to get a perfect score on that application. And when I say we, it was really none of this happens in isolation. Myself and Dr. Kola Okeyemi were the PIs, the principal investigators of this grant, and worked with, you know, a team of very skilled writers to create a narrative that the, you know, the reviewers at the National Cancer Institute found compelling. And they were able to fund us for 5 years at about, to the tune of about $500,000 a year. And using those funds, we can, you know, we can support roughly 25 late stage high school, early stage undergraduates for 10-week research experiences in HCI labs. And, you know, there's a little bit of extra juice in that we also fund middle school and high school teachers to come to HCI for a little bit shorter of a time in the summer, but they actually do active bench research. But what I think is really interesting is they also develop a cancer curriculum that they can take back to their students. So, you know, we think this is a really great way to increase the impact of our program. You know, as opposed to one-on-one mentorship, which is great, we now take, you know, 1 to 30 or however large these high school teachers' classrooms are. And so we think that's a great way to increase the impact.
Well, and isn't that called the Pathmaker Bridge?
That's called the Pathmaker Bridge Program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these teachers are just so enthusiastic. And by rough estimate, I think we've reached over 1,000 middle school and high school kids who are in these teachers' classes. And, you know, just getting them exposure to thinking about what cancer really is. Because I think for, you know, especially for young people in that age group, maybe they have some experience with cancer from a family member, et cetera. But, you know, I don't think it's super common. So even trying to understand cancer from its very beginnings, I think is not something these students are that familiar with.
Yeah. And if you're teaching a teacher, I mean, the ripple effect
sure.
of that work, like you say, is
yeah, I guess that's
amazing.
my exact point.
Yeah. Wow. And you also have the summer research experience in oncology for young women, students in high school, or young students who identify
yep.
as a woman. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is a really neat program. You know, so the American Cancer Society has, you know, a division within their extramural grant portfolio that's interested in reducing health disparities, providing opportunities for underrepresented students. And we were approached by the American Cancer Society about 3.5 years ago to see if we wanted to be part of a pilot project to test out this summer healthcare experience in oncology program. And, you know, we gladly accepted. We're in very good company. There's only 9 other cancer centers across the entire country that were invited to participate in this opportunity. And what it is it's a 2-week virtual opportunity for kids from the Intermountain West, for young women from the Intermountain West. And by Intermountain West, I mean our area we serve, which is Utah, Wyoming, Nevada, Montana and
Idaho.
had my fingers out. I was counting. And, you know, it's really neat because, you know, these young people can do this virtually. They actually, we work with a company called eClose, which is a not-for-profit that generates they have a small sort of lab in a box kit that they send to the participants. So the very first week is they're actually doing a little experiment on their kitchen table using fruit flies, and which is a great experimental model system. It's very straightforward. So they actually get their hands dirty a little bit, and probably to the, you know, the consternation of their parents, they probably sure. get, you know, gunk all over their kitchen table.
Yeah.
But, you know, then the next week is all about learning more about the cancer problem. There's career development activities. So I think it's a really great way to introduce young people to, you know, the aspect of, you know, what does research look like? Even a glimpse, I think, is really valuable. And I think the other thing that's sort of an unintended consequence is that these young people who participate in the SHE program sort of, you know, we don't view it as a formal pipeline program to Pathmaker program, but we definitely have students who are applying to Pathmaker who have participated in the SHE program in the past. So I think this is exposing students early to a career in science and keeping them interested. I think you have to have as many touch points along the way. I think a one-off experience is useful, but it's not as useful as multiple experiences in a row.
I love what you're saying there, because it's like sticking with that and developing that talent. And I'm glad you named the program the SHE program, which stands for Summer
Healthcare Experience in Oncology.
Great. And Don, what does that do for a young woman or a young person who identifies as a woman to have that experience? I mean, we've come so far in science and STEM and, you know, encouraging young women to be a part of it, but we still have a long way to go.
You know, I think it's really foundational to give these people the experience. You know, I think the data does show that elementary school young boys and young girls sort of have the same affinity and the same curiosity for science, but over time, it flips a little bit. And, you know, sort of, I think we know from just gender norms that young men seem to be more interested in STEM fields, whereas young women are not. I think reversing that is important. And I think the more experience we can give to young women is, I think it's a great opportunity just to try to diversify the workforce. And what's interesting, I think, is that our Pathmaker program is made up mostly of young women. It's about a 60-40 ratio. And I think there's a number of potential reasons for that, which I don't think we need to get into. But it is interesting. And the data also shows that most undergrad institutions are starting to become more female than male. Most of our PhD students are female versus male. And again, it's about a 60-40 ratio. But by the time you start to get into faculty positions, it switches and it's much more male dominated. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. That's probably a conversation for a different time. So
no,
I think getting more women into the workforce it's just an incredible opportunity. And we not only consider ethnic diversity, but we also consider gender diversity.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I'm the daughter of a PhD mathematician.
Okay.
And so too bad that the gene skipped a generation with me. but, you know, it was also, I felt like, you know, coming up in school when I did, it wasn't cool as a girl to be smart, period. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. Junior high and high school, and definitely not smart in science. And I'm so glad to hear that that's changing. I have two daughters, and I would just be so thrilled to see them go into medicine and science, because I just have such a deep respect for what you do, and especially what you're doing for these students. So thank you. You also have the Summer Enrichment Month. Tell me about that. And that's sponsored by Columbia University and the Cancer Center there.
Yeah, the Summer Enrichment Month is really our response. And I have to say, it's only a partial response so far. So the problem with the Pathmaker program and the SHE program is they're so limited in the number of students we can actually take. You know, for example, for the Pathmaker program, we generally average about 100 applicants every single year for about 12 spots. And for the SHE program, you know, last year we had 160 applications for 20 spots. So there's a lot of kids who are going away disappointed. And so in some ways, we might be having exactly the opposite effect and outcome that we want. We want to encourage these young learners. But I think at that age, getting a no, you know, by the time you're our age, you've heard no a lot. But if you're a young person, hearing no for the very first time from something that you may have your heart set on, mm-hmm. you know, that might steer you away from science.
Oh, totally. And you don't have that perspective of like any successful person has had a lot of no's
yep.
in their lifetime.
Well, and I think that, you know, I think it helps you be successful because mm-hmm. that builds resiliency
sure.
and stick-to-itiveness.
Totally.
So the Summer Enrichment Month is really our solution. So Summer Enrichment Month is a month of virtual sort of online cancer classes, career development activities that the students who don't get in our programs, they at least have an option of, you know, logging on every day for a month in the month of July to learn about the cancer problem. And I think what's really neat too is they have breakout groups. So students from Utah, Idaho, Montana, et cetera, they can interact with students who are more sort of New York City central because this is sponsored by Columbia University. So I think it's an interesting way to bring together kids from across the country to interact in pretty informal and pretty unthreatening environment, right? I mean, there's only one benefit to the pandemic I can see, and that's getting used to being on Zoom mm-hmm. and feeling comfortable being on Zoom.
Absolutely. In that way, it opened up the world.
Yeah.
And tell me about Cancer Research and Cancer Education and Prevention Day.
Yeah, we do a lot of community outreach type of events. And that's also part of our Pathmaker grant. There's, you know, you already mentioned, we talked about Pathmaker Scholars, Pathmaker Bridge, but we also have Pathmaker Connect. And that's where we go out into the community. And sometimes we do that in partnership with our community outreach and engagement team. And, you know, we provide cancer education materials. You know, we have a pretty robust curriculum on sunscreen use and skin cancer prevention that we talk to high school students about, and we tell them just how bad tanning beds are, et cetera.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
you know, so we really try to connect to the community. And I think that's useful for several different reasons, right? I think getting the parents of these kids engaged in what it might look like for their son or daughter to go into medicine or biomedical research. You know, I think a lot of parents, I think we certainly did when our daughter was going up through high school. It's like, you really want to be a doctor, right? But,
subtle,
you know, I think
subtle.
Doctor, lawyer, engineer, mm-hmm. You know, I think those are the canonical things that people think about as they transition from high school into college. But, you know, a career in biomedical research is just incredibly rewarding. And I think getting people to understand that it's just not doctor, lawyer, engineer, that you can have a really robust and interesting career as a scientist is something we try to stress in these community visits.
Well, also, like, it's such an exciting time in cancer research. I mean, there are so many cancers. We're to the point where it's stage 4 cancer that's treatable, which that never used to happen, and immunotherapy and precision medicine. I mean, what an exciting time to be a cancer researcher.
Oh, I would say it's unprecedented. You know, when I was a student, a lot of it was trying to get there first, and you could do that through just a lot of really hard work. But now I think for some of these things you mentioned, it's really more about, are you asking the right question? Are you creative? Because the tools that we have available are really the state of the art. And, you know, I think it was roughly 20 years ago, the first human genome was sequenced. I was looking at a paper just this morning, in fact, that said this particular group compared the genome sequences from over 16,000 individuals, trying to sort of unravel what mutations throughout the genome mean from a disease sense. So I think just the tools are amazing. You know, there was a really important announcement just last week about using CRISPR gene editing for a sickle cell anemia cure. This is a technology that's only been around for a little over 10 years, and it's really revolutionized medicine. And I mean, I guess I'm going to put on my sort of a little science preachy hat, and that you never know when you fund basic research what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And CRISPR editing, like I mentioned, has revolutionized science. And it really came out of a very basic study trying to understand how bacteria prevent infection from the viruses that infect them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you're always looking for the cure, not trying to understand the underlying mechanisms, you're missing something. But it is really an incredible time, as you said, as a scientist. And I'm not sure I'd want to go back and start over again.
No.
But I think it's really a fantastic time to sort of be involved in biomedical research in whatever area you find interesting.
Totally. And, you know, it used to be that the treatments were more uniform for whatever, you know, cancer type you had. And now, like, testing the person's DNA, the yep. DNA of the tumor, and then taking that science and that information to come up with the precise treatment that's most likely to work and that a person's most likely to tolerate. I mean, incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. You know, I think we can sort of tailor match treatments, but even when you tailor match and even with immunotherapy, there's, you know, still a pretty large percentage of the people who don't respond. So mm-hmm. understanding why people don't respond mm-hmm. is going to be incredibly valuable going forward. And I think we're sort of approaching, you know, lack of a better term, cures for many cancers, but we still have a long way to go.
Yes, we do. And with medicines that work for a while and then stop working,
right.
figuring out why that is and figuring out ways to overcome it. But to have these students that are coming up in these programs you mentioned, being a part of that, you're starting to see some of the success. I know one of your first Pathmaker students is in med school.
Oh, it's more than just one. I mean,
okay.
I can give you a little bit of statistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have had, I think it's 88 students who've come through the Pathmaker program over the years. 86 of them have gone on to college, which I think is a great track record. That's what, 98%. You know, many of the students, especially from our first cohorts, you know, they've completed their undergraduate degrees. Many of them are out there in the workforce. Certainly going to medical school is not the only metric of success, but about 10%, I think it's 8 or 9 students from our previous Pathmaker cohorts have gone on to medical school. We have a couple in MD-PhD programs. You know, I think it's considered that Duke University is one of the very top MD-PhD programs in the country. And we have one young man, Ruben Cano, who was in our very first Pathmaker cohort, who's in his third year of the MD-PhD program at Duke. And he is just such a wonderful person. And I think he appreciates the value that Pathmaker added to his career journey. And he's on our external advisory board.
Mm-hmm.
He helps us select the next cohort of Pathmaker students. So I think he really sees the value that we have added to his professional career. And a dream of mine is maybe not Ruben, but someday I hope we are able to recruit a Pathmaker student that was in our program 10 years prior to come back to the University of Utah as a faculty member. I would be so happy if that happened.
I feel like that is very possible.
I hope so.
That's exciting to think about. And again, I can just see in your eyes and your facial expressions just how much these students mean to you and this program means to you. Can you put into words what the most rewarding part of this work is for you?
You know, I guess I'd answer that in a couple of different ways. Some people do this and find out that science is actually not for them. And I actually consider that a win. Maybe not the win we would like, but, you know, my goal as a mentor and a trainer is to really help people along their path to figure out what is it that makes them fulfilled? What do they find interesting? Because ultimately, I think that's our goal, is to really help people along their pathway. You know, we'd love for them to all be HCI scientists, but that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, for me personally, just being able to help these young learners in some small way launch their careers, because I just think they have so much promise and I find them so inspiring. Some of their backstories are so heartbreaking, but inspiring at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have students in our programs who are refugees in Nepal for virtually their entire lives. Then they move to the United States as part of a refugee relocation program. They don't speak the language. And yet 3 or 4 years later, here they are applying to the Pathmaker program and just doing fantastic things. So,
yeah. And you think about, gosh, life can be hard when you've got the decks stacked in your favor.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then you think about growing up in a war-torn country and having to flee to a place where you don't speak the language, where your parents aren't trained in a profession where they can work and earn at the same level they could before. Like, everything would change. Everything would be new.
Yep. No, I think that's absolutely true. And I mean, I don't think inspirational is, or I don't think that's hyperbolic mm-hmm. at all. I mean, I think what these kids have been able to do, and I think, you know, watching how they develop and watching where they end up, I think that's the part that's most rewarding mm-hmm. for me.
Oh, it's rewarding for me just to hear you talk about it. I love this work so much. Finally, Don, what does it mean to you to deliver a cancer-free frontier?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been at Huntsman Cancer Institute since the very beginning. Since 1995, I don't actually know of anybody on the lab side who's been here longer than I have. So, you know, I've really had the extreme pleasure of watching HCI grow up. You know, it was such a different place in the very beginning. I could literally count the number of HCI employees on one hand. And now we have over 3,000. So, watching the growth of the Cancer Institute's been an incredible professional privilege. And, you know, and I think the danger is when you get big, you sort of lose focus on the mission. And I think that's one thing that I've really found so incredible about HCI is that drive to have a cancer-free frontier is, you know, it's always right front and center. And I don't think we've ever lost that over time. And for me, sort of the commitment to that. That's what I think about HCI, is the commitment to a cancer-free frontier and always really trying to push that forward, whether it be, you know, on the research side, the training side, the clinical side. I think HCI has a reputation for being collegial, collaborative. And what I really love is I think we all row in the same direction. Every once in a while, the oars kind of get out of whack and we don't quite make it, but we're always heading in the right direction. And I think that's what I've really enjoyed about working at HCI, yeah, since 1995.
And Pathmaker and Pathmaker Bridge and the summer programs you mentioned, Five for the Fight, which we didn't have a chance to talk about, but is also a huge part of what you're talking about in that cancer-free frontier that we are all hoping for and working so hard to achieve.
Indeed.
Well, it's been such a pleasure having you here, Don. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your expertise with us today.
Well, thank you, Heather.
Now we're fortunate to talk with Anna Marsden, Senior Manager, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at Huntsman Cancer Institute. Anna, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So glad you're here. I'm a big admirer of your work. And when we interviewed Don a little earlier on our show, he just raved. He said, okay, this is all because of Anna.
Oh, that's so sweet.
he just said, because you love these kids.
I do. I joke that this program is my first child. I now have two real biological children, but I pretend, I tell all the real students that this program is like my first baby. So respect the program because it's my child.
That's right. And you can tell, you know, it because you do such extraordinary work.
Thank you.
Let's start with a little bit about your why.
Sure.
Your father had cancer, right?
He did. He had cholangiocarcinoma. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but the cancer of the bile duct. Diagnosed in 2010. No, I'm sorry. Passed away in 2010. Diagnosed in 2007. And he was treated elsewhere first, and then his oncologist transferred him to Huntsman. He just loved Huntsman. We actually had his celebration of life at Huntsman in the auditorium, which is pretty wild now when I'm up there and I'm in that big auditorium with the view. I'm like, it's interesting, but not a lot of people know that. So now everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he loved Huntsman, and I have no background in science, healthcare at all. I have a degree in economics and a business degree, and I've worked in all sorts of industries. I always wanted to work in marketing. But after college, I actually interned at the Huntsman Cancer Foundation because I wanted to work there. I wanted to be a part of Huntsman in some capacity. So originally I was at the foundation, and then I moved, I bounced around, and then I finally came back to Utah, and I applied to every job I found at Huntsman that I thought I'd be, potentially qualified for without having any sort of, background in this space whatsoever. And I tripped and fell headfirst into the job that I landed at the time, which was with the original faculty member and original investigator who wrote the original grant for the Pathmaker program. Her name is Dr. Ana Maria Lopez. She was wonderful. And, I actually kind of had another job with her. And then we piloted this program. And then, I slowly kind of transitioned to just doing that program full time over several years. So,
well, it sounds like it was meant to be. And
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that about your dad. And I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
What an extraordinary wealth of experience, though, that you bring to your job. I mean, you mentioned like the auditorium.
Yeah.
That has special meaning for you, and having, your father as a patient, I'm sure really helps with that mission part of the job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can remember being a person lost in that building, right? Like I can remember walking around not knowing how to get from the lobby of the hospital over to the infusion room, which used to be in Research North on the second floor. So every time I see some person walking around looking lost, like, I was you, let me help you.
I love that.
So that's what I really like about being up there too, is just, and I don't get to interact with patients a lot, right? So I think that that's really what drove me to really, really enjoy working with the students too, is you get that one-on-one interaction with somebody like on a personal level that's kind of impacting things in a different way. I don't get that as much with faculty. And so it's fun working with young people that are very passionate about science and wanting to help. And anyway, so yeah, I mean, I think it's a weird blend for me of like the personal touch and then kind of loving and helping people grow. And yeah.
Well, and really extraordinary young people who you're working with, budding scientists who, have so much to offer. Tell me a little bit about the Pathmaker program and the students you've met. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure I've had an amazing experience.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There's so many students over the years. This program started in, it's like I should know the exact date, but I think 2016, I believe, was the first summer cohort that we had. And the students can be, late high school or early undergraduate students. And the program is primarily for students that are from backgrounds that are, underrepresented in science and in any capacity. So, that's women, that's rural students, low income, first generation, racial, ethnic minorities. So these students have the most, insane stories, beautiful backgrounds that for me as, a very privileged white woman who grew up on the East Bench of Salt Lake City, I personally could not relate to 99% of these kids. So they teach me things every single day, which is like the biggest privilege for me to be able to work with them and learn from them. But then also, you know, help them grow on an individual basis as a person, and then let them work with these amazing faculty to grow in science and in their education. So it's really fun working with them. They come to the University of Utah, obviously work at Huntsman, but they live at the University of Utah campus for 10 weeks during the summer. The students do not have to be local. They can, you know, be from really anywhere in the United States.
You mentioned how much you love the students. Yeah. I've been on shoots with you as a public affairs manager, and I can tell that, I mean, these are your kids. Like, you, like, right? I mean, it goes beyond just a job.
Yeah.
Right?
I definitely am very protective over these students. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like to make sure they feel safe and they feel like they have someone that is here, like, physically on site. Because like I mentioned, you know, these students are living on campus. They're away from their family. Many of them, it's the first time they've been away from their family. So having somebody there to take care of them is just like innate. I want to be their summer mom. Now that I've sort of like grown into other roles, we all joke now in the past couple of years, I'm now their summer grandma. We have other wonderful staff that lead this program last summer and going forward. But yeah, I mean, I really care about them and their growth as like an individual. If they decide after this program, they're like, oh, science is actually not for me. This is not my path. Like, that's a victory. That's fine. You learn that now when you're 18, 19, 20 versus pursuing medical school and going down that path and then realizing when you're like a pre-med or you're in medical school that you do not want to do this, which you hear about, right? People have that experience. So, but we have so many kids that have gone on to do like the coolest things. And, you know, we started the program in 2016 and here we are now in 2024. And so now we're seeing those outcomes with these students, you know, from the first year when they were juniors in high school, when they applied and went through our program and they got accepted to wonderful colleges and universities. And now these students are in medical school or in PhD programs at places like the University of Utah. We have several students in medical school there, but we have students in medical school, an MD, PhD student at Duke. We have a PhD student at Brown. We have a lot of students that are, you know, still in their undergraduate years at Columbia, at Brown. I think we have one at NYU. We have many at the University of Utah. We have students at like SUU, Southern Utah University, a lot in the state of Utah. We have some in California on the West Coast, one at Oregon. I mean, they're all over the country. And there's still a lot that I, to this day, they'll email me for like a letter of recommendation for something, which is always so fun. So yeah, I mean, I love it. I love the students and I love the teachers too. We have teachers that participate in our program as well, which are wonderful.
Yes. Let's talk about that because sure. Really, you know, training teachers through the Pathmaker Bridge program, I mean, think how many students they will influence, right? And that's the idea.
Right. So back in 2016, the program just started with a small cohort of students. When we, over the years, we got more funding and we expanded that up to like 12 to 14 students. And then we got more funding that we could bring students back for two consecutive years. Around that time, I think that's 2019, we got additional funding to add a teacher program. And so in 2019, technically it didn't launch until 2021 because of COVID. But in 2021, we were able to bring in four teachers for our first Pathmaker Bridge program. And so these teachers are middle to maybe early high school teachers is the group that we kind of primarily focus on that are obviously science teachers in the state of Utah. We focus on the state of Utah. And I mean, we had so many wonderful applicants always, but the first group of four teachers we had, we've never worked with teachers, I guess. So the first time I was kind of shocked and blown away at the excitement from the teachers. And they follow the same model. So we bring them in for a research experience with the goal of taking back cancer education or a cancer curriculum back to their classroom. And, you know, over the years, these first initial four teachers right, since 2021, have reached over 1,000 students with some sort of curriculum that was developed based off of this research project they did with a scientist at Huntsman Cancer Institute. And I think you'll be hearing from one later. But, you know, the feedback and the information you hear from these teachers is just how much this program impacted them as an individual in their learning, and then how they were able to translate that into exciting education and exciting curriculum for their young learners, like their eighth graders. And what's really, really neat is the faculty that have hosted these bridge teachers are also really excited to have these teachers, and knowing that these teachers are going back to these kids. And they've, a lot of them have created these wonderful relationships that they actually, the faculty will go into these teachers' classrooms and will teach, like we'll do hands-on activities with these young kids. So, you know, we've, and I think Deb will maybe talk about this later, but she really loved, she's told me that she's loved seeing her young children, like her young students, see people that look like them, that are these, you know, scientists. They are these professionals that work at the university and they do science every day for a living, right? So I don't know, the reach of the teachers is just fascinating, right? Because Pathmaker Scholars, we've had, I think, around 84 students that have gone through the program since it started in 2016. We have now had 12 bridge teachers, and their reach is, you know, kind of
hundreds.
What, thousands. Like thousands. There's been so many. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and super cool.
I love what you said about, you know, seeing the scientist who looks like you, because yeah. when we have that example, how important is that? I mean, if we see it, we can do it, right? That's the yeah. spark, right?
Yeah.
I think that's so profound and so
huge.
Important. What do you think these students bring to the table that's unique? I mean, I've had the privilege of interviewing some of them, and I find an incredible resilience and a determination to succeed. What have you found?
I mean, I think for me, working with young people, any young person, I feel like I'm always learning from them, whether it's like, you know, the new lingo of what's cool to say.
Oh, totally.
Or just, you know, just like genuine cool stuff that youth knows that I don't, but also just being excited about the next generation of people. Like, I don't feel like I'm very old, but when I work with these students, I get excited about the future, I guess, because, and that sounds so cheesy, but you know, in today's world, and at times, you can get very down on how things are moving mm-hmm. lately. But then you interact with these students, and, you know, I have had the privilege to interact with them very closely for several years, for 10 weeks, day in and day out. And they are so smart, and they are so passionate, and they truly care about people, right? Like, they care about themselves, but it's pretty remarkable that there's 19 to 22-year-old kids that already know, and they're driven, right? They already know that they want to be like an oncologist for a specific population. Like, they already have this planned out. When I was that age, it was like so far, like I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, right? So yeah. I don't know. I just think it's, they're like encouraging, but empowering, but also just like so youthful too, that you like, you want to help them and support them and guide them, but it's also like they already have this path and they're going to go, and you just need to almost like help them go a little bit, but they really are on it, and you need to make them feel confident that they are, because I think that's the thing that I've seen is it's like sometimes that the confidence isn't there, and it's
kind of the missing piece, right?
To yeah. success.
Like you bring a toolbox, right, to anything you want to do.
Yeah.
And confidence is a part of that.
Yeah.
A big part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there, it's just, yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think this is so important. And, you know, encouraging that you have faith in the future because of the work that you do. And talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, beyond the wonderful experience, this benefits science and specifically the science of cancer.
Yeah. I mean, on so many levels, right? Because these young people that this program is primarily serving are from backgrounds that have been missed, right, in prior generations, you could say. So, you know, ideally, a lot of these students will go on and want to do research in areas that they have their background represents, perhaps. So there's a lot of cancer health disparities out there. Ideally, hopefully, a lot of these students will want to research how cancer impacts their community or how cancer impacts people that have experienced the same backgrounds or disadvantages or privileges that they have, right? So that can change the outcomes of cancer care. That can change the outcomes of cancer treatments. So really, long term, it should have a significant impact on cancer, like as a whole, period, right? Not just care and treatment, but just cancer.
Gosh, and it's sobering if you think about it, like who has been missed, who might have that potential to cure that type of cancer or the ability that the world will never know. And then you think about the doors this opens and the potential breakthroughs.
Right.
Yeah, science.
It can be profound if you really really think about it. But I mean, absolutely. And you know, maybe even in other like diseases outside of cancer, maybe these, because this isn't just cancer. There's not just disparities in cancer, right? There's disparities in all sorts of things. So perhaps one of these students just wants to study diabetes, like, you know, anything else and make an impact in that space. Really, all of them are going to make an impact in whatever they do because they are all so wonderful. I mean, I can talk about like individual students. I can talk about them all day, but I'll save you.
I love hearing about it. And I just am so impressed with again, with the work that you do and the students who have come through this program. And, you know, it impresses me as being so forward thinking about the future. And I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. Honestly, it's really wonderful to be a part of it. And I, you know, I always joked if I could just keep doing it forever, I would. But, you know, I gotta help other people too sometimes. So we have a wonderful team that runs the day to day. I'm still involved with our leadership, with Dawn. But it's just so wonderful. It's just grown, right? The program has grown that not just one person can do it, which is wonderful, right? That's the goal, is to scale these programs so we support more students, we support more teachers, we're making a bigger impact, but it's just bigger than what one person can handle now. So it's so fun to work with the students, but also the really passionate team that we get to work with, and all the faculty, right? There, and the graduate students and the postdocs. I mean, it's not just me, right? Obviously, there's so many people that make a huge impact on these students' lives. They see me as like, you know, the outside of the lab mom, maybe, but the faculty that host these students, they are what makes the program successful. And their other trainees, like I said, their graduate students and their postdocs that are in their lab are very hands-on with the students, and they're the ones that are actually doing that training with them, right? And they're giving them that one-on-one experience and that mentorship. So they really are what drives the success of the program outside of the, you know, admin logistical folks behind the scenes kind of. So yeah, there's a lot of people involved. I just want to make sure I get them all a shout out to all of those wonderful people, because they are huge.
It takes a team.
Takes a village.
Finally, Anna, I would love to ask you a question we ask all our guests, and that is, what does a cancer-free frontier mean to you?
Oh, man. I mean, not having cancer be a burden or a fear for people, like, would be amazing, right? I mean, just as a person that has been impacted by cancer, I would love for nobody to experience what I've experienced. Like, honestly, that's the only thing that can come to my mind. Like, I would never want anyone to experience that. I mean, I don't know how to articulate that outside of that. Like, I would just love to not have anyone to feel what that feels like.
I think you articulated it beautifully. And do you think about your dad often in your work, like that this is to honor him?
Yes. I mean, I think about him all the time, obviously. I think about my dad was a very business oriented, he worked in finance. So I know that the way I operate in general is because of him. I think that I bring a lot of different skills and different viewpoints and different ways of doing things than people traditionally and academics. So I know that he'd be proud of that. Sometimes I joke, I think he's like, oh, why aren't you in finance? Why aren't you doing this, this, and this? But no, he would never care as long as I'm happy and successful. Key being he cares about success. So, but yeah, I think that he would be very thrilled to know that I work in a space that took so good care of him. Because he was an inpatient for a while. Like, he genuinely, like, felt cared for there. So yes, I think that my dad would be very proud that I'm giving back in the way that I think that I can contribute to patients, even if it's an interesting path to get back to patients and families and caregivers. This is like my way of kind of helping in some space.
Yeah, in a profound, yeah, impactful way. Anna Marsden, it's just been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful.
We extend our sincere gratitude to Dawn Eyre and Anna Marsden for being with us today on the podcast and sharing their experiences and expertise. Training the next generation of cancer providers and researchers makes such an impact in bringing care to the community. The students are our future and have the opportunity to grow and share with those around them. Coming up in part two of this episode, we'll sit down with a Pathmaker student and teacher to learn about their experiences and their training at Huntsman Cancer Institute. To our dedicated listeners, we appreciate your support. For additional resources, be sure to check out our show notes. And if you want to stay connected with us and be the first to know about our upcoming episodes, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. And we would be so very grateful if you could take a moment and leave us a rating or review. Your feedback is so important and meaningful. And please tell your friends, family about our podcast and share it on social media. We're always eager to hear from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions for future topics, or a personal story you'd like to share. Please visit our website, huntsmancancer.org. I'm your host and executive producer of A Cancer-Free Frontier, Heather Simonson. Avery Schrader is our producer, with help from Carly Leha-Uli and Jill Woods. Thanks to the communications and public affairs team at Huntsman Cancer Institute. We truly couldn't do this show without you. Also, a special thanks to the Podmill and Mix It Six Studios for their help with this episode.